In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county. Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is,
we don't talk nearly enough. Lions puts the talk into tea.
Moncrief on News Talk.
We all have nightmares occasionally or often, but night terrors are something quite different. For a start, they're not dreams. Andrew Coogan is from the Department of Psychology at the University of Maynooth. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. How would you describe night terrors then?
Yeah, so night terrors are part of a group of sleep behaviours and conditions that we call parasomnias. So we're probably more familiar with other parasomnias like sleep talking and sleepwalking, like grinding your teeth at night. Night terrors are parasomnia. They're not nightmares. Nightmares are bad dreams. And I think we all know what a nightmare is. We've all had nightmares. Now, some people have recurrent and distressing nightmares, and that's something called nightmare disorder. But night terrors are different. They're not dreams. They're more like sleep talking, sleepwalking. Except for the thing that gets switched on when we're asleep for a night terror is our fear response, our fight or flight system. So it's nearly like having a panic attack during your sleep.
Oh.
So it's not like you're having these disturbing thoughts. It's like your emotional response gets switched on.
Okay. And in conjunction with that, are you seeing something or experiencing something?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So some people report like seeing something, but it's not like a dream. It's like a single image. Like a dream's like a story, you know, it's got a narrative, it's got a flow through time. Some people don't report seeing anything. Now, the thing with a night terror is you'll behave during it. You'll jump up. You'll be acting distressed. You'll call out. That doesn't happen during a nightmare. You look like you're awake, but you're not properly awake. You're in this sort of strange bit between sleep and wakefulness. So again, they're quite different to nightmares. On the surface, they sound similar, but actually when you sort of dig into it, it's quite different.
Okay, and is there activity in a different part of the brain than there would be for just a straightforward dream?
Yeah, exactly. So these parasomnias happen in a different stage of sleep than dreams and nightmares happen. So dreams and nightmares happen in a part of sleep called REM sleep or REM sleep. While parasomnias and night terrors or sleep terrors happen in a part of sleep called slow wave sleep or non-REM sleep. And that's actually manifest in what time at night these things can happen, because non-REM sleep tends to predominate in the sort of first sort of third of your sleeping night, and night terrors also predominate in that time, while dreaming tends to be much more common later on in the night, you know, as we move towards morning, and nightmares and dreams are more common at that part of the night. So you can sort of start to sort of figure out what's what according to when roughly in the night these things happen.
And is it one of those things that, generally speaking, it tends to afflict children and then you grow out of it?
Yeah. Night terrors seem to be pretty common in small and primary school age kids. And for most people, you do grow out of it. And that might just be to, you know, as the brain matures and our emotional lives change, you know, kids have a lot of emotions to process a lot at a time. And then as we sort of move through adolescence into young adulthood, they seem to drop off. Now, you can get these, they can persist into adulthood. So adults can definitely get them, but they are way more common in kids. And again, I think that's reassuring. If your kids have them, or you think your kids have night terrors or sleep terrors, it is reassuring to know that it is one of those funny things that probably most likely will just pass as your kid grows.
Yeah. Now, interesting question just came in from one of the listeners, because it actually sounds way even scarier than night terrors. Sleep paralysis.
Yeah. So sleep paralysis is a slightly different thing. So actually, when we're in dream sleep, in REM sleep, our body is normally paralyzed. And that's to sort of stop us acting out our dreams, you know, because our dreams can be bizarre and weird, and you wouldn't want to be jumping around the bedroom trying to act out whatever bizarre and weird dream you're having. And what seems to happen in sleep paralysis is that we wake up, but the paralysis bit hasn't kicked out yet. So we're still paralyzed. And that happens for a few minutes before that sort of relief. So you've woken up, you're conscious, but you've got this paralysis. It's actually pretty common, probably maybe up to sort of 3% of people experience sleep paralysis. It again, can feel obviously distressing, because the feeling of being awake but being paralyzed is obviously very, very strange. But it passes. It's not significant of anything else. It's just, again, one of those weird things that happens.
Yeah. And so how long can it, I mean, if you've kind of not quite woken up, but you're, you know, maybe your head's woken up, but your body hasn't. So does it, and how long can that, is that a minute or two or longer?
Yeah. Typically, it's like a couple of minutes. So it's not long, but it can obviously feel pretty long because it's strange and it can feel pretty distressing.
Yeah. And does it go with anything in that you can't move and you might be seeing something or imagining you're seeing something?
It tends not to. It's again, because we often wake on our normal sleep cycle. We often wake from REM sleep, from dream sleep. So it's just that so we've transitioned from REM to wakening, but that sort of paralysis bit, that's a normal part of REM sleep, just hasn't switched off yet. And it's lagging behind us becoming conscious by a few minutes.
Do night terrors run in families? One of the listeners wants to know.
So parasomnias might run in families. One of the things that seems to be linked with all parasomnias is that they are more common if you have poor sleep to begin with. So if you're having disturbed sleep, maybe because you're stressed or anxious, you are more likely to experience a parasomnia. Now, what type of parasomnia is may be individual-based. So some people might have sleep hallucinations, some people might have sleep walk, some people might sleep talk, some people might have sleep terrors. There is some suggestion that the type of parasomnia you might have might be in some way sort of genetic, so might run in families. So there's certainly anecdotal evidence that siblings experience the same type of sort of sleep-related phenomenon. But we don't really have a ton of evidence on it, because I think this is one of those things that happens out in the world, but we don't capture it very well in sort of scientific studies.
Yeah, indeed. It should make you terrified to go to sleep at all, though, really, to be honest. Andrew, thanks a million for speaking with us today.
Sean. Okay, bye.
Bye. Andrew Coogan is from the Department of Psychology at the University of Maynooth, and says, my son had night terrors for 10 years. When he reached the age of 18, he was able to describe why he was terrified of looking at me. He said my face was melting. He eventually grew out of them. My word.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county.
Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is,
we don't talk nearly enough.
Lions puts the talk into tea.